Good morning. Today's Daf Yevamos is Gimel. We are on Beis, Amud Beis. We got a little bit of the Gemara, but we're going to start again from the beginning of the Gemara to get us nice and fresh in terms of a sugya. We introduced ourselves yesterday to the world of Yevamos and to the Isser of Yibam. Now, when I say Isser of Yibam, that's confusing because it's a mitzvah of Yibam. So how could there be an Isser of Yibam? So, under normal circumstances, so there's a mitzvah. And as we introduced yesterday, so in the event that Rachmanis, the husband dies and leaves his wife childless, and so there's a mitzvah now for a brother to go ahead and to perform the mitzvah of Yibam, to marry her, Lahakim Shem Achiv, to perpetuate the name, to continue the lineage. So this is a mitzvah of Yibam. Yesterday in the introduction, we talked about how significant and important this mitzvah is. It goes all the way back to Yehuda and Tamar. So we spoke about this in yesterday's daf in terms of an introduction. So under normal circumstances, so you have a mitzvah. Now, as we already pointed out yesterday, even when there is a, let's call it a simple mitzvah of Yibum, so there at the same time, there's also an Isser. The Isser is Eshetach. Meaning yesterday we got a crash course introduction to all the arayas of the Torah. Not all of them, but the vast majority of the arayas in the Torah. And the reason why is because of the following. Under normal circumstances, when there's a simple mitzvah of Yibum, so there is also going to be an Isser of Eshetach. She is your brother's wife. And despite the fact that your brother's no longer alive, but once an Erva, always an Erva. Okay, remember, that's just it's a great rule to have in mind. Once an Erva, always an Erva, even if the reason why she's an Erva is no longer there. Your brother's dead, but nevertheless, she's your brother's wife. A notable exception to that, as we pointed out yesterday, is sisters. Sisters, so you're allowed to marry one sister after the other sister your wife has died. Okay, so that's the only heter. But outside of that, once an Erva and always an Erva, so that she's Eshetach, she's your brother's wife. And yet the Torah says that despite the fact that she's Eshetach, but you are allowed to do the mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam is going to override the Isser of Eshetach. Okay, now, what does it sound like? What it sounds like is, Esei Dochalos Asei, positive commandment is going to override the negative prohibition. So that's tomorrow's daf. Really, it's the end of today's daf, but I know where I'm going to stop. So that's tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing it in detail. Tomorrow's daf happens to be one of the main places in Shas that discusses the idea of Esei Dochalos Asei. So I encourage you, please come back tomorrow. But, okay. I'm simultaneously handling yesterday's daf, tomorrow's daf, and today's daf. I am all over the place. Okay, however, as we learned in the mission yesterday's daf, the only erva that it will override is only the erva of Eshetach. Any one of the other arayas, meaning, if let's say she has a dual status of being an erva, meaning aside from being an Eshetach, by definition, every Yavam is going to be an Eshetach. But aside from being an Eshetach, she's also another Erva as well. So then, there's no longer going to be a mitzvah of Yibam. Not only that, there's going to be now an Isser. You're not allowed to marry her because of the other Erva. So let's say, for example, she's your daughter. How can the Yavama be your daughter? It's very simple. Your brother married your daughter. Your brother who married your daughter, who had every right to marry your daughter, and in fact, a couple places in Shas would indicate that there's an encouragement to do so. So your brother married his niece, i.e. your daughter. And now he died, so you are going to be now exempt and excused from the mitzvah of Yibum. Meaning, aside from the fact she's Eshetach, she's also Bito, she's also your daughter. So therefore, there's not going to be a mitzvah. And that's just but one of 15 different examples where she's going to be having additional Araya statuses. Now, even though I say that, and I sound pretty confident in saying that, that's not a precise way to look at the Mishnah. There is at least one, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, there's one example in the Mishnah where it's only Eshetach. Achiv, I'm thinking about number 14. Eshes Achiv Shaloha Yabalamo. The only erva over there is Eshetach. It just happens to be that in that particular case, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. For a reason that we outlined yesterday, I'm not going to go over again today. I want to keep this intro short. Okay. So anyway, so...
Is the Yibum only for an unmarried brother or married brother also?
No, married brother can do the mitzvah of Yibum. Yeah. Just take out another wife. Right. I say that casually as if it's no big deal. But, yeah, you're right. I just... But the understanding is, no. Any one of the brothers is a candidate and eligible. We're going to be learning later. I think Chav Dalet or Chav Hay, one of those Dapim, that the primary mitzvah is on the oldest brother. But in the event that he can't do it, any of the other brothers is an eligible candidate to do the mitzvah of Yibum. We will talk more about that later in the Masechta.
When you talked about Yehuda and Tamar,
yes,
the only reason that they could do that is because it was before Matan Torah.
Well, yeah, but the Ramban, I quoted the Ramban yesterday. The Ramban was just focusing on the fact that they're even talking about it. Meaning the idea that it's even on the discussion, it's on the table for discussion. Where did Yibum come from? In other words, wasn't Yibum introduced with the Torah? So the Ramban says, no, Yibum came before the Torah. It was the Chachamim knew it, right? There was something intuitive about it. That was the Ramban yesterday.
How could he marry her?
How could he marry her? There's no Isser Arayos, meaning so...
it's a son-in-law.
Yeah. It's right. It's his daughter-in-law. Correct. It's his daughter-in-law. So there's no Arayos. Yaakov married two sisters. There was no Arayos. And I know it's confusing. I'm aware of the fact that it's confusing. On one hand, we tout that they kept the mitzvahs. On the other hand, I'm shrugging off Arayos. I realize that. I'm recognizing it's confusing. Okay. So so that's what we did yesterday. So in the course of yesterday's daf, really, the heavy lifting of yesterday's daf is just simply to outline all the examples in the Mishnah where she's not only Eish HaSach, but she's one of the other 15 Arayos that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay. With that stated, so what we're going to be doing today is, well, the second half of today is really straightforward. Second half of today, we're just simply going to be outlining Mehechi Tesi. How do we know all this? Everything I just shared with you, what's the source of that? So that's the Amud Beis of today's daf. That's going to go real quick. But the Amud Aleph of today's daf is really going to be focusing on the nitty-gritty of the Mishnah, specifically the order of the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah give its particular order in which it did? Okay, the Mishnah had 15 different cases to go through, and you know that the Mishnah was extraordinarily intentional in the way it presents information, right? That's one of the hallmarks of learning, is that you're learning a Mishnah, you're reading a Mishnah, and every word, and not in this case, not just word, but the order in which they're placed in is all intentional. And so what the Gemara would like is a better understanding of why specifically the order in which it was presented. Now, if we can, by the way, this is just a great way to organize a Mishnah. There are 15 cases, so that's a lot, right? If you ask me to repeat all 15 by heart, I'm going to struggle. But what we can do, and what we're going to do today, right now, is we're just simply going to organize the 15 of the Mishnah, so you get to see it like in clusters and chunks, and so it'll be a little bit easier, and it happens to be that this organization is going to be great for where the Gemara is going to end up landing anyway. First six cases of the Mishnah, all are derivatives of your daughter, right? The first one is Bito, you married your daughter, and then Bas Bito, Bas Beno, Bas Ishto, right? And all those are basically form versions of your daughter. That's the first six. Then, what did we do? We did versions of your mother-in-law, right? Chamoso, and then Eim Chamoso, Eim Chamiv. So the next three really have to do with your wife's mother or grandmother, okay? And that means either your brother married your mother-in-law or your brother married your mother-in-law's mother or your father-in-law's mother, either one. Okay, so we go basically daughter to the mother-in-laws. Then from there, we go to all the siblings. Achos mi'imo, achos mi'imo, achos ishto, eshes achiv me'imo. So we do siblings. So we went down, we went up, we went across, and then after that, we are number 1415. Number 1415 are two strange ones because they're not really, number 14 is a brother that you, the two brothers were not in the same world together, right? Eshes achiv shaloha yabo lamo. Okay, we outlined the case yesterday, but basically, in order for there to be a mitzvah of Yibam, the two brothers had to share the same world together. And let's say after the death of one of the original brother, only then the next brother was born. So then they didn't share the world together. It's not so. It's Eish HaSach Shelo HaYabalama. There's no mitzvah of Yibam, and there the erva is only Eish HaSach. But still, there's no mitzvah of Yibam. And then finally, now case number 15 is Kalasa, your daughter-in-law, who has no blood relationship to you. In other words, her erva status is a function of the fact that your son married this woman. Okay. So in terms of organizing the Mishnah, we went daughter, so basically down, then mother-in-laws, so your wife up, and then siblings, and then we went across. That's just a good way to organize the Mishnah. And then case number 14, 15. All right, with all that stated, let's start with the Gemara. We are on Beis Amud Beis, Michdi, Kulo Me'achos Isha Yalfinam. We're learning everything from Achos Isha, meaning all these halachas that we just learned together. So how do we know it? So again, for today's daf, wait until the Amud Beis, where the Gemara is going to darshan it for us. But right now, all we need to know is that it's all generated from Achos Ishto. We're going to have a pasuk in the Torah that tells me that. It's not a clear pasuk, but you'll see. It's a drasha. But basically, is that if your Yavama also happens to be your wife's sister, you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. That's the case in the Torah where it's outlined clearly. So now, everything is learned from Achos Ishto. That's a given. So now, listen to Achos Isha Bereisha. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the source of all these halachas, So then shouldn't it be put prominently as the number one case in our Mishnah? Because really it is where everything is derived from. Okay, make sense? So the Gemara says, I get it. Maybe the Mishnah is going over that which is more severe. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, when it comes to Arayos, every one of the ervas in the Torah is subject to a kares penalty if done intentionally. However, there still is gradations even within the Arayos, in that some of them have corporal punishments. A number of them have corporal punishments, but some of them don't. The ones that do have corporal punishments, it's Mises Bidei Adam, it's capital punishment. And then even there, it can be further separated. Some of them are Skila, some of them are Sreifa. So maybe the order of the Mishnah is going to be a count on which is the most severe. So Rabbi Shimon, Hidam, Sreifa, Chamor. Now, we're going to assume right now we're going like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who puts Sreifa in the number one slot, Machlokis and Sanhedrin, whether it should be Skila or Sreifa, that's the Chachamim, or Sreifa then Skila, and that's the Shita Rabbi Shimon. As the number of times as I've gone over the Machlokis, I still don't understand what they're really arguing about, but I do know it's Machlokis. So the Gemara right now assumes that we're going with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, Ihachi, Leif Nechamosa Beresha. So the Gemara says, okay, but then you know what should be number one? Their mother-in-law. Why? Because when generating these halachas from the Torah in terms of which one is subject to sreifa, chamoso is the source of this particular halacha. That one has relations with his mother-in-law subject to sreifa, so that is the ikaron b'torah, and that should come first. And then, of course, after your mother-in-law, then should be the daughter-in-law, because the daughter-in-law is an iser skila. So we should have sreifa, represented by the mother-in-law, and then we should have kalaso. Now, in our Mishnah, kalaso is in the number 15 slot. It should be much higher if we're really operating, if we're following a pattern of chumrah. So, Ella. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're gonna just abandon that whole approach. It's just simply not going to work. And now the Gemara is going to go with a totally new approach. Okay, so we are now, this is exactly where we left off yesterday, but as you can see, just to follow what our objective is, what we're trying to do, we are trying to find out the pattern of our Mishnah. We have 15 cases to go over, but why specifically in that order? So the Gemara says, so let's say like this. So when it comes to Bito, so that is learned through via Drasha, and therefore Chavivale, therefore it's beloved. Now, what does that mean? Bito is learned out through a drasha. It's learned out through a drasha. So the Gemara says, "Kulu nami midrasha asu." So the Gemara says, "Aren't they all learned out from a drasha?" Now, not the iser arayos. Although in a moment the Gemara is going to back up into that position. But right now we are thinking. The Gemara is thinking that it's not. We're not talking about the iser arayos. We're talking about when there is a complementary erva in addition to eishes ach. So you can't do the mitzvah of yibum. So the Gemara says, that's not just Bito, every one of the Arayos, every one that we mentioned, the Mishnah, is all learned out via Drasha, with notable exception of Achos Ishto, which even that's a Drasha. But in other words, but they're all learned out through Drasha. So what do you mean Bito is learned out through a Drasha? So, Nehi del Inyan Yibum. So we're on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara continues. Look, as far as Yibum is concerned, Asu Midrasha. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. In other words, the basic point of yesterday's Mishnah, that's all drasha derived. Agreed. But Iker Isurayu Behejiksiv. So the Gemara says, Bito, Behejiksiv Behu. Bito Iker Isurayu Midrasha. So the Gemara says like this, when it comes to the Yibum aspect of it, it's all drasha. When it comes to the Iker Isur, meaning the fact that it is an erva in of itself, Bito comes via drasha. If one were to have a daughter out of wedlock, it is not clear in the Torah, meaning go through the parshios, both of Achrimos and Kedoshim, go through the 18th and 20th prakim of Vayikra, and there, oddly enough, it is a bit of an oddity. It doesn't say Bito explicitly, especially when it talks about Bito out of wedlock. Now, it's really easy to figure out that she is one of the Arayas, meaning the Torah happens to say that your daughter's daughter is going to be an erva to you, and there are a lot of excellent clues in the Torah that one's daughter is going to be an erva to him. And if one just, in other words, once you're introduced to the basic idea of Arayos, it's rather intuitive that one is not allowed to be with his daughter, and it would follow being an erva. But, in other words, for the purposes of Azhara, for the purposes of Onesh, it has to be in the Torah. So how are we going to generate it from the Torah? So we learn it out via drasha. And what's the drasha? Da amarava, amarli Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi asya heina heina asya zima zima. So it's a double drasha. Rashi over here, I'm not going to go through it right now. And I know I say that every time we do this. The Gemara happens to quote this a number of times. We just did this recently back in Chagiga. So I know I do this every time, but go through the Rashi over here. Rashi is going to take you through the psukim and the somewhat elaborative maze in terms of going from one pasuk to another and having to do that two times. But regardless, the point is that there is a drasha, a double gzera shava drasha. Wow, that's a mouthful. That gets us to the idea that bito, even out of wedlock, is going to be one of the arayos in the Torah. So and therefore what? So since bito is derived through a drasha, so therefore it's a chachamim's favorite. Meaning, what does it mean, the chachamim's favorite? Meaning that we know that Torah is a complement of Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And we know that in terms of Torah Shebaalpeh, it is essential to understand Torah Shebechtav. We can't really understand Torah Shebechtav without Torah Shebaalpeh. Okay, so this is a wonderful example in which we're going over the arayos in the Torah, and if you just open up a chumash and just listed which one they are, so you'll know that bito is not there. Ah, but it is there. How do I know that? Torah Shebaal Peh. And so what the Chachamim do in terms of just showing their love for Torah Shebaal Peh and their commitment to Torah Shebaal Peh is that when something is derived via Torah Shebaal Peh, so in our Mishnah, when you have 15 of which to choose from, you know what the Chachamim are going to do? They're going to put it at the top of the list. Why? Because that came to us via Torah Shebaal Peh. And it shows their love and the commitment to Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's why they put it number one. Okay.
We have a concept in Onshin Adin.
Right. So ain ochim in adin means ain ochim in adin means and not only that, ain mazir min adin, meaning the Gemara even has an opinion that you can't even have a lav from din, but din over there means kavachomer.
And bito is not a.
It's not a kavachomer. It's a gzeira shava. Okay. De amarava. I read that already. Hashta. Okay. So on Gimel and Aleph, we are five lines down. So hashta da amarad kol mil sadasi midrasha chaviva leilisne lachos ishul besof. So the Gemara says, okay, so things that are learned out via drasha, they're the most beloved. And things that are explicit, so not as beloved. Obviously, everything's in context. So now, how should the Mishnah go? So the Mishnah should go through 15, where number 15, meaning however 1 through 14 gets sorted out, and bito being the number 1, because even the Iker Isurayu is learned via drasha. But then, you know where Achos Isha should be? Achos Isha should be last. Because that's the pasuk, that's the actual pasuk that's teaching us this halacha. So why not put Achos Isha last? Because that's the one that's the least drasha. Oh, I'm going to make up a word. The least darshanable of all of them. Okay, so each Achos Isha should be last. So the Gemara says, "I did Ari be Isser Achvasa Tana Achos Isha." So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to do is that we're really going to give a new approach altogether. And that is, well, it's not a really new approach, meaning bito comes number first and now we know why. Because it's learned via drasha. And therefore it's the most beloved. So, but here's the story. The story is in now is that the Mishnah wants to be organized. Now, I already did this organization earlier this morning, but I did it because I knew the Gemara. Meaning here's now where the Gemara is telling us that we really like the organization in which it presents itself. So I did the Iri be Isra Achvasa Tana Achos Ishta. So since we're doing siblings, meaning that's the third section of the Mishnah, so then we're gonna include Achos Ishta over there. So Velisne Lahaya Bavala Besof. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't really fully answer the question. It's an incomplete answer. Meaning, so why don't I just take all the cases of Achva, of siblings, and leave it for the end of the Mishnah? And so that Achos Ishta could be last. So the Gemara says, Ela Tana Korve Korve Naka. So the Gemara says, okay. So now at this point in time, now we could say it. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to just revisit the question and provide now another answer, really a fundamental answer in terms of why specifically the order in which it was given. And that is that we're looking at relationships and we're basically going from closest to furthest. So Tana Bito, Bas Beno, De Korve Asmo. So the first, I know the Gemara says three over here, but really it's the first six. So the first six examples of the Mishnah, all derivatives of your daughter. So that's Korve Atzmo, meaning on what basis are they arise? Because it's your daughter. Okay. Now, V'ayde de Tana Shosha Daros Lamata, Dide, Tana Nami Shosha Daros Lamata, Dida. So now in the Mishnah, we went three generations below. Now, the number three over here means including yourself. So it's you, the generation below, your daughter, and the generation below, your granddaughter. Okay. Now the next thing the Mishnah did is we're going to go three generations up. Now, you notice, by the way, I didn't point this out yesterday. I haven't even yet pointed out today. You notice that the mother is not here in the Mishnah, right? Why not? It's for obvious reasons, but next Mishnah we're going to discuss that. So we're going to go three generations upward, but not three generations upward from you, because your mother, grandmother, not in the Mishnah. So what we're going to do is now we're going to just simply move over to your wife and go three generations up in that direction. Again, when I say three, I mean including your wife. So it's your wife, it's your wife's mother, it's your wife's grandmother. Okay. So the I did the Tanah Shlosha Doros Lamata Dida. I'm sorry. Okay. I made a small mistake, but it's not so bad. Okay. I see what I did. Okay. First, the Gemara did the three generations going down for you. I got it. Okay. That's one, two, and three. Then the Mishnah did the three generations going down from your wife. Okay. That's Bas Ishto, Bas Bina, Bas Bita. Okay. I got it. All right. So it's daughter for you, daughter for your wife. So that's you going down three generations, again, three including yourself, three generations going down from your wife, that's including your wife. Now, I get it. Okay, good. Now what we're going to do is with your wife, we're going to go up, meaning her mother and her mother-in-law. So, Tananami Shosha Doros Lamata Dida, Vaidi Tatana Shosha Doros Lamata Dida, Tanish Shosha Doros Lamala Dida, that's where now we're going up with your wife, meaning her mother and her grandmother. Vitana Achosava Achos Imo De Krove Atzmo. Now, after that, so, first we did the generations going down for you, then the generations going down for your wife, then the generations going up for your wife. Okay, so that's all, what's it called? Let's call that block number one. Then block number two is that we're going to do the siblings. So, and the siblings are Krove Atzmo. Now, since we're handling all the sisters, so siblings, so it makes sense now to include Achos Ishto. Again, in the previous iteration of the Gemara, Achos Ishto belongs last because we are organizing the Mishnah via Drasha. What's learned out via Drasha? What's explicit? But right now, in this new approach, it has nothing to do with Drasha. It just simply has to do with degree of relationship. And now, in the next block, since we're talking about siblings, it makes sense over there, your wife's sister. Uvedinu deliktime la kalaso, mikame eshetachiv shalal yabalamam. Now, that got us all the way up through 13. Meaning, this approach now gets us from 1 to 13, right? 1 through, okay, now I'm going to organize it the way the Gemara just did. 1 through 3 is your daughter and your granddaughter. 4 through 6 is going to be your wife's daughter and her granddaughter. 7 through 9 is going to be your wife's mother, grandmother. 10 through 13 are all variations or iterations of siblings. And that now brings us to 14 and 15. Okay, now, in terms of 14 and 15, so the Gemara says, look, I know over here by 14 and 15, it can get a little bit choppy. Sorry, I just lost my spot. Uvidinhu. Yeah. Uvidinhu deliktame la kalaso mikame eshetachiv shalal yabalama. Now, I know that really kalaso should come first, before eshetachiv shalal yabalama. Dolomishum korvahu da'asire. Because it really has nothing to do with relationship, meaning that kalaso is really just a function of your son decided to marry this woman. But ella aidi da'ari be'eser achva tana eshetachiv shalal yabalama v'hada tani kalaso. It just happens to be that, look, in the sibling block, so really eshetachiv shalal yabalama is really a sibling issue. In other words, it's these two brothers did not live in the same world together. So it's a sibling issue. So that's why Eishes Achiv Shalal Yabalama is going to be put in the sibling block. And then Kalaso, which kind of like doesn't really have anything similar to it. So as a result of that, it's going to be put last. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the first part of today's daf. Okay. A really detailed discussion regarding what exactly the order of the Mishnah was when presenting the 15 cases in the Mishnah. Why present in that order? I know that was a lot of work just to get to the order, but obviously, as I pointed out just in the beginning of the sugya, everything is intentional. All the cases in which they were given and the order which is given is intentional. And that's why the Gemara spent a good amount of time uncovering what exactly was the thought process of the Chachamim in terms of giving that particular order. Next, my Irya Detana Potros. So now in the Mishnah, so Chamish Esrei Nashim, Potros Sarasehin. So we're going to be focusing now on the fourth word of the Mishnah, right? Up until now, we've been focusing on the 15, well, we had to know all 15 cases. You had to know the Mishnah in order to cover that first sugya, but now we're focusing on the fourth word of the Mishnah, so Potros Sarasehin, so they're going to excuse, exempt. That's a funny word in the Gemara now. I point this out yesterday. Here's the Gemara asking the question. That is a funny word to use over here. Excused or exempt? I could think of a much better word to use. So my Irya Detani Potros Lisnei Asuros. In other words, the correct word would seem to be usser. In other words, you're not allowed to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. It's prohibited. She's an erva. In addition to being Eishes Ach, she's also any one of the other ervas mentioned in the Mishnah. So wouldn't the better word to use in the Mishnah be usser? So the Gemara says no, because if it would have said Aser, I might have thought that the Iser is only related to Yibum, but you could do Chalitza. Now, that admittedly is a little bit difficult, because when you go back to the Mishnah, and you read the Mishnah says, Potros et Sarusehem, min ha-Chalitza u-min ha-Yibum. And the Mishnah articulates both. So the Havamina that we just registered here in the Gemara, I might have thought that it would only apply to Yibum, not to Chalitza. I don't know. The Mishnah says both, Yibum and Chalitza. So I'm admitting that this line of the Mishnah, of the Gemara over here, is a little bit difficult to understand, and I know the Rishonim deal with it, but right now, let's just say like Rashi. Rashi says, what do you mean I might have thought it only relates to Yibum? Because really the focus over here is on Yibum. In other words, yes, of course the Mishnah talks about Chalitza as well, but the focus is on Yibum. And if I would have said Isser, I would have thought that the Isser is only limited to Yibum. The word poter means just there's nothing to talk about. In other words, totally excused, totally exempt. Velisne asur lachlot. So the Gemara says, well, why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say asur lachlot? Which again, I know is a little bit difficult because effectively the Mishnah does say that. But if you're worried about the miscommunication, so then just simply say asur lachlot. So my kavod, alamalo. So the Gemara says, really, there's an Isser to do chalitza? And the Gemara right now is being really literal, meaning in a case where, let's say, for example, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so now you're going to tell me I'm forbidden from doing chalitza? Let's go over what chalitza is. Chalitza is a way of releasing the Zika, but practically speaking, what does it mean? It means that she's going to take off his shoe. It means that she's going to be spitting. By the way, a misconception, common misconception, into the shoe. The spit's not into the shoe. We're right, in front. It's in front of him. Oh, okay, good. You went through the Masechta already. So the, also you're reading a couple of psukim in the Torah. Okay, so even if there is no mitzvah of Yibum and there's no real chalitza, if I did all that, are you violating something? No, of course not. Wait one second. So im ato omer choletzis b'nisiyam. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Here comes now here comes the dangers of doing chalitza even if it's not required. And that is that once you encourage chalitza, even if it's not necessary, so then it will make sense in people's mind, well, if I could do chalitza, you know I can also do yibam as well. Kevin de Mamako mitzvah hu dasire tsara. Vishalo bamako mitzvah. I'm sorry. Ima taomer chalitza misya bemis. Okay, fine. So that's why we can't just simply say we can't simply say aser lachlotz because there really is no iser. But the Gemara says even though there's no bona fide iser, but still there's a danger in doing this. There's a peril in doing it. So
you prevent her from marrying a kohen if you do chalitza.
Okay, that's right. That's also
bad for her.
Okay, fine. But that's only if it's required. If it's not required, so then lechor it's nothing. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Kevin de b'makom mitzvah hu de asire tzara v'shalo b'makom mitzvah sharye mishum hachi tini potros. So the Gemara says, so I'll tell you why the Mishnah uses the words pater. The Mishnah uses the words pater because consider what we're learning in our Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, what we're learning is that the co-wife is going to be prohibited. Now, co-wives of a relative. Let's take Yibam out of the discussion. Take it totally out of the discussion. Your sister marries a man, not your brother. Bad example. I mean, whatever. Your daughter marries a man and it happens to be not your brother. Okay. And now he's also married to another woman and the man dies. Obviously, you can't marry your daughter. Can you marry that other woman again, having nothing to do with Yibum, meaning it's not your brother, it's somebody else. Can you marry the other woman?
Yes.
Of course the answer is yes. So what's going to happen now is that if the Mishnah were to use the word usser, we would walk away erroneously thinking that any time there's a co-wife to your one, any one of your relatives, she's going to be usser. The word putter is there to clarify that the only time the co-wife of an erva is going to be prohibited is only in the yibum circumstance. Kevan, that's the Gemara what I just read. I'm going to read it again. Kevan de mamakom mitzvah hu dasir itzara v'shalob b'makom mitzvah shariyeh misham hachi tani potros. That's why we want to use the words putter. Because iser would get us erroneously thinking that it's always going to be usser. A co-wife of an erva always is going to be usser, and it's simply not true. Okay, Danny, go ahead. So the Gemara says, now, once again, I go back to the Mishnah. I now understand why we use the word potter. But now, the next words of the Mishnah, potro sarasim v'sarasim min ha-chalitza u'min ha-yibum. So from chalitza and from yibum. So the Gemara says, I don't fully understand. So why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say min ha-yibum? Again, we know that the Mishnah is into conservation. And if the Mishnah could say it in two words, so don't use four. So why not just simply say mina yibum? Itana mina yibum ava mina mechles chalse yivum alom yavme kamash malan kol ola liyibum ola lechalitza v'choshena ola liyibum eina ola lechalitza. So the Gemara, what the Mishnah wants to teach us is the relationship between yibum and chalitza, and that is that there is a direct correlation between yibum and chalitza. If there's yibum, then there's chalitza. And if there is no yibum, then there is no chalitza. There's never going to be a circumstance where you're going to do chalitza and unable to do yibum. Now, what I just said is true and correct. And meanwhile, there are a number of gemaras that we're going to see in our masechta together that where there is chalitza and there is no yibum. Rashi over here points out that's because of a suffix. Meaning in the event of a suffix, and I'm not sure what to do, so now just to hedge and to play it safe, so you'll do chalitza. But that's only because we're unsure. But we're never going to have a circumstance in which we know the result, either yes yibum or no yibum, and once we know one, directly connected to that is going to be the other. If there's yibum, then there's chalitza. And if there's no yibum, then there's no chalitza. Okay. It's just because of suffix, because of uncertainty. Okay, fine. So that's why the Mishnah goes on to explain that pater mina yibum mina chalitza, or to me, or more accurately, to quote the Mishnah, mina chalitza umin hayibum. Okay, so now we understand why the Mishnah said that. Next question and answer. Valesne mina yibum mina chalitza, inami mina chalitza l'chuda. Why does the Mishnah not just simply say mina hayibum mina chalitza, putting yibum in front of chalitza? Why does the Mishnah have chalitza before yibum? So the Gemara's answer, or why not just simply say chalitza by itself? Abba Shalhi da Amar mitzvah chalitza kodemos le mitzvah yibum. So the Gemara says it goes like the Shita of Abba Shal. The Shita of Abba Shal, we're going to be learning on Lamed Tes, right? So for whatever reason, that daf stands out in my head. So we learn on Lamed Tes, and it's also on the side of the Gemara over here. And that is Abba Shal. We're going to learn together. Abba Shal is of the position that one, if given the choice, you always have the choice of whether to do yibum or chalitza. One should do chalitza, not yibum. Even though yibum is the mitzvah. And in fact, you could just simply open up a chumash, read the Torah, and you could see just by the tone, the Torah says, you didn't do yibum, shame on you. Right? Kacha yaseh le'ish. Right? The Torah is critical about the person who elects to do chalitza over that of yibum. And meanwhile, Abba Shaul says, given the choice, you should do chalitza over yibum. Now, why should that be? So we're going to discuss this in Lama Test, but here I'll quote the Rashi, second to last line on the Amud. So Beper Kachol, it's Abishal Omer, Hakonis Yivimto L'Shem Noi, U'L'Shem Ishos, Ki'ilu Pogeh Be'erva V'Karav Be'inai Lios Avlad Mamzer. The language is really strong. You marry your sister-in-law, but for an ulterior motive, meaning not for the purpose of the mitzvah, but she's attractive, or for whatever other ulterior motive there is. Money, right? Okay, I think I've exhausted the possible ulterior motives. So you marry her for another reason, and you don't have the mitzvah in mind. So now it's not a mitzvah, and if it's not a mitzvah, so now what happens? It goes back to being eshesach. Now if it's okay, good. I'll try to explain it even a little bit better on Daf Lamed Tes. Meaning over here it's just coming incidentally, but your question is really good. and we'll try to get a better understanding. Okay, but anyway, that's the sheet of Abishol. And therefore, according to Abishol, so you should go with Chalitza over that of Yibam. For the Ashkenazim amongst us, I'm one of them, you probably noticed. For the Ashkenazim amongst us, the Ramah, Paskins like Abishol. Meaning that in the Ashkenazi communities going back 800-900 years, so there has been Yibam situations, but there's not been a mitzvah of Yibam. Minag Ashkenaz forever has been that we go with Ashita of Abishol, we go with Chalitza over that of Yibam. Sephardim, okay, it's complicated for the Sephardim. Right, it's funny. Usually, it's complicated for the Ashkenazim. This is one of the circumstances where, for the Sephardim, not super clear cut whether you pass like Abishol. We do not. Okay. Anyway, Minyana Dereisha. Okay, we're done with that section of the Gemara. So we are now. We were medayik in the first line of the Mishnah. Chamish Esrei Nashim Potros Arseim. So we were medayik in the word Potros. Why specifically the word Potros? And then Chalitza Umin Ayibum. Why the order of Chalitza in front of Yibam? Why mention Chalitza at all? Okay. That was that section of the Gemara. The number. Anytime the Mishnah gives us a number, so everyone here knows the drill. So the number of the Mishnah is exclusionary in nature. Meaning because even without a number, we would know. We can count. So we would know that there are 15 cases in the Mishnah. And why the number? Now, it's funny. We just did the Gemara in Chagiga, that Mishnah in Chagiga. Remember that first Mishnah of the third parak of Chagiga, where there were 11 cases in which Kodesh goes above that of Truma, and the Mishnah over there didn't give a number. And remember what happened as we jumped into the Gemara? Machlok is Amarayim, whether there are 10 cases or whether there are 11 cases. So, I'm riffing right now, but I could think off the top of my head why number is important, because sometimes it can lead to that kind of debate. But over here, why the number? So good, that's the Gemara's next question. Minyana Dereisha. On Gimel Amud Aleph, second to last line. Minyana Dereisha Lamute Mai, Minyana Desefa Lamute Mai. So, and you know how many times it lists the number 15 in the Mishnah. So it lists it twice. So, right. Chamesh Esrei Nashim Pocho Sarasim Vitzar Sarasim. So that's already the number 15. And then the Mishnah says on the top of Amud Beis, Hare Elu Pocho Sarasim Vitzarot Sarasim Mina Chalitza Mina Yibam Atzof Olam. Okay, so the word Elu, it gives us the indication that these. Okay, so two times in the Mishnah we're hearing these and only these. So what is it coming to exclude? So Lemute Mai. So Lemute De Rav U De Rav Asi. It's coming to exclude Rav and Rav Asi. Rav and Rav Asi gives a couple of other cases. I'm not going to go through them now. They're coming up later in the Masechta, so please forgive me. I'm not going to spend the time right now to go through it. It's important, obviously, but they have a couple of other cases where there's also going to be a Petur, and our Mishnah is coming to exclude their positions. L'Rav u'L'Rav Asi l'mutei mai. So the Gemara says, okay, that's if you don't hold the Rav and Rav Asi. But what if you do? And I'll give you two really important people who hold like Rav and Rav Asi. Rav holds like Rav, and Rav Asi holds like Rav Asi. So if you hold like them, so what are you going to do with the number? So Israel dahadade chad lemutei tzaras mam enes v'chad lemutei tzaras machzer grushaso. So if they hold of each other, so now I got two exclusions in the Mishnah that need accounting for. So the Gemara says, okay. So what I'll do is in the Mishnah I'll account for tzaras mam enes, the co-wife of a woman who did miyun. And the co-wife of Machzer Grushaso. Okay, so in both of these circumstances, so there is, according to Rav and Rav Asi, there is going to be not a Petur, but there is going to be a requirement of, what we'll discuss later in the Masechta, in this Perek, whether it's going to be Yibam or whether that it's going to be that of Chalitza. Okay, so in other words, there are other cases to exclude. V'ilos v'iluhu da'adadei chad l'mutei d'chavre v'chad l'mutei otzars ma'menes otzars Machzer Grushaso. And then the Gemara just simply says, and if they don't hold of each other, so then that means that one exclusion in the Mishnah is already accounted for, and that's going to be the other's opinion. And then then you could choose. Either it's going to be Tzaras Mamenes, or it's going to be Tzaras Machzer Grushaso. I know I didn't do a good job explaining these particular cases. I'm just, when we get to the Gemara later on, we'll do these cases in much greater detail. L'Ravu L'Ravasi L'Sninu L'Fi She'eno Bitzaret Sarah. So the Gemara says, okay, but for Rav and Ravasi, so why wouldn't our Mishnah include these particular cases? Because they don't fit into the formula of the Mishnah, because the formula of the Mishnah is that not only is the Tzara going to be Pater, but the Tzara also is going to be Pater as well. And it just happens to be that these particular cases do not demonstrate Tzara Tzara. They will not have the second derivative. And so since they won't have that, so therefore it's not in our Mishnah. Okay.
Brothers cannot marry them.
Yeah, correct. Okay. With all that stated, so now it gets us to the second half of today's daf, which we're going to go through in relatively quick order. So the first half of today's daf, a little bit heavier in terms of discussion, but just simply the details about the order of the Mishnah, why specifically that order, the wording that was used in the Mishnah, and a number of very basic points that we made in the first half of today's daf. Okay, now, second half of today's daf, we'll have it start right over here, unofficially, Minahan Nimili. Okay, the question over here is really simple, really straightforward. Where do I know this from? Where are these halachas generated from? In other words, you have a yibam opportunity with your brother's wife. Your brother was nifter, and now you have a yibam opportunity with her, but if she is another erva in addition to being a shetach, so then no mitzvah of yibam. How do I know that? So that's the Gemara's question. Minahan Nimili tan rabban an isha lachos alosikach litzor. Legalos erva aleha bichayeha. So we start with a pasuk in Achrimos. The pasuk in Achrimos outlines the isra of achos ishto. So your wife's sister. You're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. Now, over there, that's just the erva that's outlined. As I already pointed out, the Torah is focused right now on the word bichayeha while your wife is alive. Meaning, from there, we learn out that after the death of one's wife, you can in fact marry her sister. This is the exception to the rule. Of once an erva, always an erva. That's not true with one's wife. In the meantime, however, this is achos ishto. Now, aleha matam lomar. It says lo stikach lisura legalos ervasa aleha. What is that word coming? Why is that word there? Matam lomar lefishin emar yavami yavo aleha. Ah, so here we go. Now we turn to the parsha of Yibam. Parsha of Yibam. Yibam was only mentioned once in the Torah in Parshas Kiseitse. We're going to go through the Pesukim inside. Over the course of the Masechta, obviously, they're going to be spending a lot of time with the Pesukim. But anyway, it's in Parshas Kiseitse, in Perichav Hei. So, Yivam Yavo Aleha. So, you hear that word Aleha again. So, Shomei Ani Afila Ba'achas Mikol Arayis Amos Batorah, Akas of Medaber. So, I might have thought that Aleha comes tell me that, when do I do the Mitzvah of Yibam? When it's any of the Arayos, meaning not only Eshesach, which by definition, it's going to be Eshesach, but any one of the other Arayos. So just like over there, it's even b'makom mitzvah. So too over here, it's even going to be b'makom mitzvah. Meaning to say that the aleha, the gzera shava aleha between achos ishto of arayos and the mitzvah of yibam is coming to tell me that no, even when there is a mitzvah opportunity, i.e. yibam. If it's achos ishto, the ister still exists. The amar rechmana lo sikach, and the Torah says, ni can't marry her. V'ein li alahi tsarasaminayin. Okay, so far I now know that one is not allowed to marry the yavama when she is your wife's sister. How about the co-wife, tamalamar, litzror? So the litzror, that's by the pasuk in the arayos, is coming to tell me about even the co-wife as well. V'ein li alah tsarasaminayin. How about the co-wife of the co-wife, as we already outlined in yesterday's daf, the situation in which another brother picks her up for the mitzvah of Yibam, i.e. the co-wife, and he's married to another woman, and he dies. And now not only are you going to be exempt from marrying the co-wife of the erva, but the co-wife of the co-wife of the erva as well. And the Mishnah says it can go on ad infinitum. How do I know that? Tamalamar litzor velolatzor. It says it with the double resh. The double resh is coming to tell me not only the co-wife, but any derivative co-wife of the co-wife as well. Now, how do I know that this is also true for other arayos as well? So let's call this a binyanav. It's a precedent. Meaning, what are the features of achos ishto? So it's an erva. I'll say it simply and succinctly. It's an erva. So that was therefore it should apply to other arayos as well. V'ein li ela hein tzarasei minayin. How do I know that would also be true regarding the tzaras as well? So amart ma achos isha miyuchedes sheyerva v'chayevim zdona karis v'ashigas ochatos v'asur liyabim v'tzaras asura av kol sheyerva v'chayevim zdona karis v'ashigas ochatos v'asur liyabim. Tzarasa Asura, again, binyanav. It's a precedent. Meaning just like by one's sister, one's wife's sister, it's an erva, and it's going to prohibit the co-wife. Same thing with any of the other arayas. Mikan, amru chachamim, chamesh esrei nashim, poshut tzarasim, tzarat tzarasim, and achalitzam and yibam, at sofa olam, and that's how you get to our Mishnah. Meaning this brisa over here is very clear. Drasha to our Mishnah. So what about the next six? What next six are we talking about? So in the upcoming Mishnah, on Daf Yud Gimel. Granted, we're going to be here for a while in this sugya, but when we get to the next Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, so we're going to learn about the next six. For example, one's mother. So why don't we say as well that the tzara should be asur as well, the kohai should be asur. Amart ma'achos ishtam yecheleshi erva v'chadam zonakas v'ashigas v'chatas v'efshar li nasei la'achim v'asur li'abim v'tzarasa asura avkos yerva v'chayav mazonakaris v'ashigas v'chatas v'efshar li nasei la'achim v'asur li'abim tzarasa asura yatsu shesha rais chamurz me'ilu holdi efshar li nasei la'achim tzarasei mutaros she'in tzara ela me'ach. Okay. And if I could, I know I just read a lot. But basically, what's the difference between the 15 and the 6? In the 15 of our Mishnah, the other brothers can do the mitzvah of Yibam. The 6 of the upcoming Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, the other brothers cannot marry her. Like, consider mother, for example. Right? You're, not only can you not marry your mother, but any of the other brothers as well cannot marry your mother by definition. It is your father's wife. Okay. So the only Isser of Tzara that was going to be learned through precedent binyanav are only going to be the examples in which she's an erva to you, but not to the other brothers, i.e. all the cases of our Mishnah. But in the case of in the upcoming Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, that's not true. She will be an erva to all the brothers. Azhara Shamanu Onish Minayin. Okay. This drasha that we just covered here on the Amud Beis only gets us through the Azhara. What about the Onish? So Amakra ki kol asher yasem mikol toevos. Okay. So we have another pasuk that tells us not only regarding the onish, but even the not only the azara, but even the onish as well. Okay. Adkan takes us to the end of today's daf, and now we have given the brisa that gives us the source of this halacha of the patur that's created when the yavama is not only a shesach, but she is one of the other arayas. But again, when we say one of the other arayas, not all of them, the majority of them. The 15 that are mentioned in our Mishnah. So for those 15, there's going to be now an additional erva that's added, that's layered upon it. And as a result of that, it's going to be usher to do the mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza. What about the upcoming Mishnah, where there's another 6 that are mentioned, the Shesh Chamuros? Yeah, there, obviously, the erva itself is going to be usher, but the kohais are going to be mutter. And what's the difference between the 15 and the 6? So we just outlined that for the 15, you can't marry her, but your brothers can. And the 6 in the next Mishnah, you can't marry her, and your brothers can't marry her as well. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf today. First half of today's daf, I'll just simply organize the first half of today's daf into its section. Section number 1 of today is Seder. Why the Mishnah gives the order in which it does. A number of attempts to explain, but when all said and done, the order is a predicate of how they're related to you. The closer the relationship first, the furthest away last. So that means to say that what the Mishnah went over first, your daughter, your wife's daughters, your wife's mother and grandmother, then all the sibling examples, and then number 14 and 15, which are a little bit odd, but obviously still made our list. Okay, that is the first discussion, that of order. Next, why does the Mishnah use the word putter? Shouldn't the Mishnah use the word usser? So the Gemara gave an explanation over there. The word usser would give a misimpression, and we went over the misimpression. Why mention chalitza and yibum? Why not just mention one of the two? So the Mishnah wants to teach us about the relationship between chalitza and yibum. Only when there's candidacy for yibum, is there candidacy for chalitza, and vice versa. You won't find chalitza without yibum. And yes, Rashi in today's daf pointed out, you will find it, but that's only because of uncertainty. But from a fundamental level, there's only one with the other, and they're not to be separated. Why mention chalitza before yibum? That was the next discussion of our Gemara today. And the answer is because our Mishnah is siding with Abba Shal Shita, which is that we prefer chalitza over that of yibum because people will not do yibum for the right reasons, and then it's not good. Right? Okay. I'll just leave it like that. I read the Rashi earlier today. And then finally, the number 15. Why does the Mishnah mention number 15? And not only that, the Mishnah then goes on to say, and hare elu, and these, meaning clearly the Mishnah is looking to exclude cases. What is it coming to exclude? This part of the today's daf I did really quickly. I did really in short order. And it's to exclude a couple of other cases. There's the Shita of Rav. There's the Shita of Rav Asi, which we're going to be discussing in detail later in our perek. There also happens to be the case of the co-wife of a Mama Ennis and the co-wife of Machzir Grushasa, which again, I didn't do a good job this morning explaining, but just suffice to say for now, there are other cases which our Mishnah is excluding. And then if Rav and Rav Asi agree with to one another, then it's excluding the other two cases. If they don't agree with one another, so it excludes their cases and one of the other two cases. Okay. And then finally, the last thing that we covered today is the Menahanimili. The Makor, how do I know these halachas? What's the drasha in the Torah? We went through the drasha. Adkan.